I liked that song. I liked the choir song. Each one of them. Our Sunday school teacher started the lesson, "Why do you come to church?" And the emphasis was to be on the Lord's Supper, and it is a significant part of it because it's one of the reasons, it's a part of the reason I love church. And that's because it reminds me, church reminds me that I'm saved. I've been saved a long time. In a couple of months, I'll celebrate my 59th birthday in the Lord. Sorry, 58th. That long, what's a year? Yeah. I celebrated I was saved the summer of 1961, and I celebrate it in the summer. And believe it or not, in a couple months, summer's coming. I wasn't taught to write down the date, so I don't know the exact date I was saved, so I just picked one out of the hat. And it has really caught on. A lot of folks helped me celebrate. I just happened to pick July 4th. Our family helps me celebrate my birthday. They spend a lot of money on fireworks, and I like fireworks. Especially when they buy them and I don't have to. Salvation is a wonderful thing, and we don't need to get over it. Romans chapter 8. I want to begin reading Let's begin in verse 27. The message will be 31 through 39, but I want to begin reading in verse 27 of Romans chapter 8. It says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now he enters into a series of questions. Some he answers with another question, but a series of questions and answers, and I love it. What shall we say then to these things? What things? That we're saved by God's will. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a big deal. We're saved. That's a big deal. I try to refrain from the word awesome. It's somewhat overused. But wow. Salvation is an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. And I believe many Christians today seem to lose the wonder of what God's done for them. Paul never lost the wonder. Throughout his life, he was amazed. You hear this wonder in his testimony in 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, it says this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should believe hereafter." Let me start in verse 16 again. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." He was amazed at God's salvation for Paul. I've heard people talk about how great a sinner they were. "No, Paul said he was chief, but he made a mistake. I'm chief." No, Paul didn't make a mistake. This is written by the inspiration of God. If Paul was the chiefest of sinners, guess who I believe was the chiefest of sinners? Wasn't you. It was Paul. And God saved him. "Well, preacher, what about you? Weren't you chief?" "No, I was mediocre. I never excelled at much of anything. So I certainly wouldn't try to claim excellency in that either. But I do know this, I sure needed a Savior." Wow, what a Savior. You know, little kids can find wonder in all sorts of things. A toddler. Mom can scrub the house and scrub the floor and put the baby down on the floor to play. And dad can come in and clop around and drop mud off his boot. And what's the first thing that baby will head for? And that shiny, sparkly, clean baby will pick up that clot of mud and... Now, why do they... They're in awe by it. They're in wonder of it. And that's how they explore, is with their mouths. And they can do that with most anything. Now, it's not long till they turn into teenagers and then they're bored with everything. Around our house, our children learned real soon to be careful about being bored, because Dad could always help them with that. But I'm afraid that's our life pattern. We're in awe, then we get bored. And we take for granted, even what God's done for us. And if there's anything we should never lose the wonder of, it's our salvation. If you have gotten used to being saved, my prayer for you today is that you get over it. And you ask God today to give you back the wonder of your salvation. Let's just look at this portion of Scripture and see what God has done for us. There in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, we have the God who is for us. Before I was saved as a little kid, and I was lost a long time. I was saved when I was 16, but I know before I started school, and I started school at 4 and a half, and before I started school, I knew that I had done bad stuff and that God was mad at me. And my thing, I didn't know how to get over him over being mad at me. All I knew was I needed to stay out of his way. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I come up on the streets of Los Angeles, and we were just there living, and I knew I was in trouble with God, and I was just going to stay out of his way. Well, let me tell you, it's a tough thing to stay out of God's way, because wherever you go, there he is. But from a little bitty guy, I knew the things I did displeased him, and he was mad at me. And I pictured him as a great old big God that was just waiting for me to push the limits too far so that he could squash me like a bug. That's not God. That's the picture the devil and the world wants to paint of God. But that's not the God that saved my soul. The God who saved you is for you. He's for you. Psalm 59 or 56 verse 9 says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." God is for me. That's a wonderful place to be. Now, I know we're on God's side and we should be on God's side, but the fact that God is for me, that is truly amazing. Wonderful in thought. Israel claimed the promise that none could oppose us. Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Do you have God's righteousness applied to your life? That's a wonderful position to be in. God's righteousness is in me. Wow. God's for us. Amen. That ought to put some spring in your step. And if you leave here today with nothing else, say, "Huh, God loves me. I don't know why." I lived many years after I was saved, knowing I was going to heaven, that not being in doubt, but wondering why. I know me. I've known me pretty well all my life. And why God would want something like me in heaven, I haven't figured out yet. But this I know, he chose to love me, and he chose to love you. And because he loves us, he wants us to be with him. God is for us. Therefore, he gave us a free gift. Notice verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now he set the mark at his son. That's where he started his giving to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's where God starts with you and I. He gives that for our first gift. Then he says, so lest you wonder about it, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost of God in your heart so that you can know this deal is real. When you accept Jesus Christ as a free gift for pardon for your sin, God's good. And if he'll give you salvation when you repent and trust Jesus' sacrifice as remission for your sin, if he'll give you that salvation, what other good things he gonna withhold? What a God we serve. What a salvation we have. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Get this. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, he's withheld a lot of stuff from me. No good thing. Now, I spent 25 years or so in high school. I served some of that sentence right here at Berean, working with high school kids. And I don't know the number of boys that I've heard use this line. Well, preacher, Brother Melvin, pray for me that I can get a car so I can take people on visitation. No. Pray for me that I can get a car so I can pick up girls. Oh no, I'm going to bring kids to church. I'm going to use it on visitation. And the first thing, well, how are you going to get this car? Well, I'm going to get a job. Well, where at? Well, I'm going to work at fast food or something on Sunday? Well, yeah. Well, if you don't come to Sunday school and church, you're not going on visitation. And if you're at work, you're not going to bring folks to church. And so if God doesn't give you a car and you have to come to church all the time, that's a good gift. That's the good gift. And we can do a whole lot of. I'm just picking on kids because obviously I'm out of that stage of life. But we can use a whole lot of other things that we want that aren't good for us. In 1963, they came out with a motorcycle that I loved. It was a V65 Honda Magna, the world's fastest production motorcycle at the time. I love that. Smooth as silk, quicker than greased lightning. I love that motorcycle. And I wanted one bad. And I got one, but it was about 15 years later. It was still fast, but see, it took me that long to realize that this switch over here was not an off-on switch. It was variable. You didn't have to take off full bore. And with that motorcycle, you better not take off full bore. You needed to kind of take off with it. God withheld that from me until he poured a little, not too much sense, or I wouldn't have wanted it at all, but a little bit until I learned how to ride it without killing myself the first day. God's free gift, the best one he ever gave you, is when he took your sins and gave you eternal life instead. That's God's wonderful free gift. And when he did that, not only did he make you a pardoned sinner, he justified you. Now that's an amazing doctrine. Justification, the best way to explain that is just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Go back to verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Well, when you stand before God, there's some things I'm going to point out to him. Number one, no, you won't. And number two, if God says I'm okay, I'm okay. And if God says your sins are blotted out and he will remember them against you no more, guess how many he's going to remember against you? Forever, no more. That old song, tell me what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. Though your sins may be black as coal this morning, though you may be under the burden of them, and you say, God could never dig me out of this mess. Yes, he can. He'll forgive you. And guess who's in the justifying business? It's God. Your mama may not forgive you. Your daddy may not. Your friends may not. Your neighbors may not. But God will. What an amazing thought. Back in chapter 3 of the book of Romans, in verse 24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved over here at Northtown Mall, only it wasn't called that. It wasn't called Northtown Walmart, nor Mall. It was called Williams Upholstery Shop at the time. Not the whole thing, just one little old storefront building. I was saved in my brother's apartment. That same night, my youngest brother and sister got saved. Our oldest brother, who had been saved a few weeks, showed us how to be saved, and it worked. Well, what? How many steps did he use? He read me some scripture, but what he said is, Melvin, are you saved? And I'd been in church, and we'd been going to church several weeks, and he said, Melvin, are you saved? And I said, no. I came that close to lying, and I got saved. Didn't know how to pray exactly, but I did know I didn't want to go to hell. Amen. And I did know Jesus could forgive me of my sins. I knew that he died on the cross to pay for them. And we discussed that a little bit with me stammering around, and he did his work. Amen. Saved my soul. Then he saved my sister, and he saved my brother. And we got in my old car, and we lived out towards Northview. And I got on I-44, and with my intelligent thinking, I says, it doesn't matter if we have a car wreck and get killed, we'll just go to heaven. You know why? I was at peace. Now, I didn't think of all the stupid consequences, the horrible consequences of being stupid. I just knew I was at peace with God. And I hadn't been for a really long time. No one can press charges because I'm justified with God. How? Through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Remember this, friends. You and I can be forgiven, or else we are forgiven, not on our own merit, but because of Jesus Christ. He gave Him for us all. Jesus died to pay for your sin so that you can have the same standing in Christ as the most godly person you know has. And He'll withhold no forgiveness from you. After you're forgiven, the devil will come around in your conscience and he'll say, "Yeah, but remember who you really are?" Yeah. No, that's who you were.
Yeah, amen.
I'll tell you who I are. I are forgiven.
Amen.
Good theology, poor grammar. I'm forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what happens when you ask God to forgive you, regardless who you are? You are the forgiven of Jesus Christ. Just think on that a little bit. That ought to make you happy. That ought to get the frown off your face. Who are you? I'm the forgiven of Jesus Christ. I am the child of a thrice Holy God. That's who I am. And He doesn't leave you there. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Intercessor. Now, I heard it explained a lot of times as like a lawyer goes between us and the judge. Truth is, by God's grace, I don't know a lot about lawyers. Nor do I want to. But I do know this. I know about prayer. And I know about asking God for things, and I know what a good God He is and how He answers prayer. Picture this, and this is, I'm not doing violence to the scripture. Here's the Father. On His right hand is Jesus Christ the Son, and He's there for one reason, and that's to pray for you and I. He prays for us. Direct access to God the Father on your behalf. Now that I can get a hold of, can you? Jesus Christ prays for you. Father, remember that horrible time that we were separated, the only time in all the ages past or all the ages future. I was separated from you when I became sin. Lord, I became sin for her. I became sin for him. Remember that? Father, that was enough, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, son. They're forgiven. It's okay. They are forgiven. Hebrews 7:24-5 says this, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's you. That's you. That's me. And you know how long he's going to do that? Yeah, he's going to keep loving me till I mess it up and make him mad. Oh, let's read the next verse. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's a good question, is it not? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or sword? None of those things can separate us, folks. Shall those things separate you? No. Tribulation won't. Not distress, not persecution, not famine, not nakedness, not peril, nor sword. Folks, there's nothing that can separate us. We're in God. We're in God. And in that, we are winners or conquerors. Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Went to the graveyard of one of my very, very, very best friends Thursday. I went to Bible college here in town and had it pretty easy. I worked for my father, lived over his business, went to church with my mother and father-in-law, who lived a couple miles from us. We did not have it tough going to school. They took care of us. Then, as soon as I got out, I moved to Houston, Texas. Hello, cold, cruel world. We got there Wednesday. Sunday, the engine in my car exploded, detonated, broke the crankshaft in three pieces, pulled a main bearing out of the engine. For those of you who know about that, thanks. For those of you who don't, what that means is it was broke. And before I got my car back from the shop, my wife went in the hospital, had appendix taken out, surgery, and of course, no insurance. But there was a family there in the church who helped us, loved us, nurtured us. They had children almost as old as Janice and I. Well, their oldest son is the same age as Janice. I was the youth director, though, and he was in my Sunday school class, and his two sisters were. And their mom and dad just took care of us. Mrs. Ingram helped me bring Janice and our second child, Christy, home from the hospital when Chris was born. He patched my old cars up and kept them running. He helped me fix up houses. He gave me counsel. They loved us. Amen. And that was back in 1965 and 6, and they have loved on us all these years. 3 weeks ago, we were gone. We went and celebrated their 75th wedding anniversary. And then this past week, we went to his funeral, buried him. And as I preached at the graveyard, this verse 57 in 1 Corinthians, one of the verses, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did I like that burying? Wedding, burying, I always get them mixed up. They're about the same thing. Did I like being there? No way. Did I cry? You guess. Of course I did. Not for J.T. Ingram, who was ushered into the very presence of a thrice holy, absolutely forgiving God who was on his side and took him into his presence, not for JT, but for his wife, his children, and myself who were left behind. That hurts. But when we look at it from an interflection instead of an outer reflection, we see that it's victory time through Jesus Christ. We're more than conquerors. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." We're going to win. There may be some struggles, but we're going to win. And we can be fully persuaded that we belong to him. Notice verse 38 and 9. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, because I was raised in a family that if they had religion, it was Pentecostal religion. And do I think some of my Pentecostal kinfolk went to heaven? I'm just as sure as I'm standing here that they're saved folks. I had an aunt, I'll tell you this quickly. She was a quintessential Pentecostal lady. She was about this big, and grinning all the time, and had the long hair, and when she laughed all over, you know. And I loved her. And she told me about when she got saved. She was 12 years old. She got saved the same way I got saved when I was 16. And she never lost it one time. But she thought she could. Well, she didn't think she could. She thought you could. But see, she grew up, she wasn't my dad's sister. She married my dad's brother. But her and dad were close to the same age and they ran together. And he told me some of the things she did. And it was God's grace is why she didn't lose her salvation. It wasn't of her own keeping. Amen. As a matter of fact, look here. The apostle was persuaded of some things. "For I'm persuaded that neither death," that's the way you die, "nor life," that's the way you live, "nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers," that's the whole host of the unseen world, "the devil and all his hosts, and God and all his hosts, nor things present," nothing right now, "nor things to come," nothing in the future, "to be all inclusive, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Wow. When God gave you something, he meant for you to keep it. And that's the kind of God we have. And then he wraps it up in the most amazing, awesome container that love could ever be wrapped in when he says, "which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a Savior. What a Savior. Today, do you know the wonder of God's love? Are you saved? If not, if you'll come down here in just a minute when we have invitation, we have someone trained in the Bible that will show you how to be saved. If you're here, "Well, preacher, I'm saved, but I've kind of got used to it and it's not that really big a deal," you need to come and get right. And if you're here and you say, "Well, preacher, I love God and stuff, but I just haven't really thought about it much." How long has it been since you told God you loved him? Maybe you just need to have a talk with him and just let him know that you appreciate what he's done for you. Let's all stand. The wonder of such love as God has for you. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we sure thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was willing, that he was qualified, and that he came, and that you let him come to be our Savior. And God, even right now at this hour, would you search the hearts of those that haven't accepted him yet and cause them to come trusting you this morning? Then, Lord, those of us who have gotten accustomed to living in such grace, stir our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God's dealing with your heart. You come on.
Jesus, I come.